So what we're going to do is we're starting the sugya, I guess, kind of starting the Megillah sugya. But it got inspired by a question Matt asked me about Kriya Shema. And so today we're probably going to take up Kriya Shema and maybe set up some of the Megillah questions. But, you know, it's kind of, I don't know if they're necessarily related in concepts, but at least in facts, they're similar sugyas. Okay? The question is about whether you could read Kriya Shema backwards. Or the Megillah backwards, okay? Not when you're standing backwards, but reading the text backwards. Okay. So basically, it's the Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Hamina Maskana, whether or not you could read Kriya Shema L'Mafreya. Okay? L'Mafreya. Well, L'Mafreya means, I guess technically it means like retroactively or whatever, but it means backwards. Okay? It means backwards. Okay, you read it backwards, you know, or out of order. So the Gemara had a havamina, if not for the fact there was a pasuk, the pasuk of v'hayu hadvaram ha'ila, and these words shall be, teaches you that it has to be read in order. And if you read it out of order, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Okay, the implication being that if not for the pasuk of v'hayu, you would have thought that if you read Kriya Shema out of order, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of reading Kriya Shema. Right? Now, you may ask, what does it mean, out of order? Rashi?
Where is it?
Oh, so the Gemara is on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. It says, I guess the second wide line. Right, it says the second one towards the bottom. Rabbana nami haksev v'hayu, ha'umi boi le'shalikun l'mafraya. Okay, I'm jumping into the middle, but, right, so they learn it out from the word of v'hayu, it teaches you that you can't read it backwards, out of order. Rabbi Shleikam Elfraim and Allah, does he know it? Nafna Midvarim, Hadvarim, he learns that from something else, so whatever. It's a question about what words in the pasuk you learn out from. But either way, is you need a pasuk to teach me that for reading Shema out of order, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Right? So what does it mean out of order? What does it mean? So Rashi says, that's the Midvarim Hadvarim, Rashi. Should have written, and these words will be. Why don't you say hadvarim? Lemidrash yikra hadvarim kesedron. The words. The words means the order is important. Lola vafreya. Not backwards. Kagon uvisharecha besecha mizidos. And your gates, your houses, the doorpost of. Okay? Right, that's what it means. Backwards. So you may have thought that you could read the sentence backwards. Right? Or the psukim backwards. I mean, you realize that the meaning is lost when you read things backwards, right? Your grammar is lost. I mean, everything's lost. So, the question Matt asked me, and I think is a good one, is how could I think that you fill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema by reading the thing backwards? I mean, yeah, there isn't Kriya Shema a parsha in the Torah? And doesn't the parsha in the Torah have an order? So how could I, or a few parshas in the Torah, so how could I just read the thing out of order and say I fill the mitzvah? I mean, could I, and the question is does he mean specifically backwards? Like, let's say I jumbled up the words. Word jumble, you know? I mean, you can make it sound pretty funny, right? I mean, you can put together some sort of funny sentence, probably. You know? You could be tying it on your doorpost, and you could be writing it on your hands, and you could, on your head, right? I mean, you could do a lot of funny things, probably. I'm sure it could be somewhat humorous. Is that also good, according to Havina? So you could say, yeah, but it's hard for me to believe that. I mean, it's hard for me to believe any of this. I mean, but it's not just the Havamina. If not for the pasuk, this is what would have been a maskana. I mean, it's not like some funny guy would have thought something. So the Gemara's going out of the way to teach you. It's not just something you would have thought. You need a pasuk to teach me this. And if there were no pasuk, you wouldn't have said this. You would have said you're filled with mitzvah. So it was a real, it really could have been a halacha. I'm not sure you follow me, but like there's a difference between a havamina where a Mishnah teaches you something. So you'll say, oh, why the Mishnah have to teach it to me? It must be I must have thought something different. Okay, fine. Maybe the Mishnah's taught you, I won't tell you the halacha. how seriously would I have thought different? I don't know. Not every time someone says something doesn't mean you have a real, legitimate theory that to the contrary. They're just telling you the halacha, whatever. But if the pasuk is saying the pasuk needs a limud to teach you halacha, it means that if you would have not have if you would not have had that limud, you would have actually held the opposite. And Torah has to come along to exclude that. Torah doesn't come along to exclude something which I would have never thought. And anyways, I would have said if I would have said on Svara that, of course you have to read it. Of course you have to read it in order. So you understand you don't need a pasuk to teach me. You have to read it in order. So it must be that then the default position would be that you could read it out of order. So just to me that sounds very funny. Sounds hard to accept, or it needs some sort of justification. I'll tell you, as Rabbeinu Yonah learns that it means out of order means that you read the Pesukim out of order. You switch around the order of the Pesukim. Okay? Switch around the order of the Pesukim. But not that you switch around the order of the words within the Pesukim. Okay, let me just see that. I think that's Rabbeinu Yonah. I think it's on Tesvav. Did you find that? No.
Again, Rabbeinu Yonah says it means
that it's talking about if you read the words, the psukim out of order. Not the words out of order. No, it's not on the right page. What page is that?
So he would, Rabbeinu Yonah goes by sentence jumble.
Chasam Aves. Chasam Aves, yeah. But it's not Freya, Shikori, Psukim, La Freya. Kigon Shomer, Betchilo, Chsavtem, Vikore, Adjema. So in other words, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it means, like you basically read, and you should write them on the doorposts of your house, and you should tie them as a sign on your hand, and they should be totafos between your eyes, and you should teach them to your children and speak in them, you know, when you sit in your house, or when you go on the road, and when you get up, and when you get down. And these words that I commanded you today should be on your heart. And you should love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your money. And then Shema, right? So he's basically taking the sentences, the five, six, seven sentences, whatever it is, and he's reading them out of order. Or you do the last sentence first, or whatever. Right? That's where Rabbeinu Yonah is doing it. But he doesn't have the Havamina if you actually took the words out and chopped them up. Right? I mean, you could do, right? I mean, it's just so you could say, V'ahavta eis me'odecha. You should love your money. You know, I mean, you can switch it, right? I mean, you can do funny things to start switching things around. But the way, what's the name says it, is the way Rashi says it, at the very least, is where you do the words backwards. You do the words going from the last word to the first word. So there are 100 words, you read word 100, then word 99, 98, so on and so forth. The same. Again, my question, it's an open question. According to Rashi, let's say I would do a word jumble. You know? It's hard to know. I mean, on the one hand, it sounds ridiculous, but on the other hand, backwards doesn't sound too much better. You know? You'd have to give a svara of, well, it's a different way that why backwards is better than a word jumble. Right? Either way, it doesn't really make sense. And also, I think we have to explain the machlokas, Rashi Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? But Rabbeinu Yonah mentions, as Zochayim said, the maskana, the order is ma'akev. You have to do it in the right order. But the order of the parshios, if I read V'Hayom Shema first, and then Tzitzis, you know, and then V'Hayom Shema and V'Hafta, then you fill in. So the Rambam says that.
For sure.
I think so. I don't know if anyone argues on that. And I saw the Rambam says it, the Rabbeinu Yonah says it, so the Rav says it. I think it's... I looked once to see if anyone argued, but it seems like it's a simple. Maybe there's some individual position who argues, but it's pretty straightforward that that seems to be the case. But that's maybe we'll get to that. But for now, let's leave that part alone. Okay, that's you're mentioning a point, Chaim. Let's leave that part alone for now. Okay, different question. Yeah, it's a good point Chaim mentioned, but I don't think anyone holds that you could just take the word and read it backwards. Like Shema, say Amash, right? In Yisrael, La Arshi, right? I don't think anyone's going to say you do that. Seems like it's the words themselves doesn't seem you have a right to chop up. Words are words, but the sentences it seems like you go backwards. But that's also strange. I mean, that's words. I mean, that would be even more ridiculous. Words is also. I mean, to say in what sense do you say I read Krishna? So I read all the words of Krishna. But I mean, don't words have an order? I mean, isn't there an order in Krishna? I mean, it's hard to just say. I mean, it's a text. For instance, I wrote my Torah backwards. Is it a good Torah? Obviously not. And it becomes what you thought. I mean, if it literally started with the last word of the Torah and went backwards, I mean, that's not a Torah. Right? You make a bracha backwards. Bidvaro, yeah, shakol, olam, right? I mean, just what kind of thing is that, right? I mean, it sounds like a little bit difficult. The point is that it isn't order an essential component of a paragraph? Word order? Like, words are not just like like pieces of, I don't know, some sort of physical piece of substance that you just take on, put on, just a bunch of random anything. They have meaning. And in a paragraph, order is an essential part of a paragraph. Right? I mean, what else is a paragraph? It's just not just a bunch of words. So a paragraph has order. Order is essential in a paragraph, you would think. So in what sense do you say you're related to the paragraph if I relate to all the individual words of the paragraph? Now, you could just say, well, it has a lot of components, and you're related to all those components, so therefore you're related to the whole thing. And I can't really say anything to that besides for, well, I don't know, just doesn't sound that appealing. Would you really say this if not for a pasuk? You know? I'm thinking like this, is that for starters, this means one step for starters, is that if you read something backwards, okay, you understand it. Okay? In general. Because of your mind. Okay? If you read a word jumble, forget about it. You don't understand the thing, it's just a million words and it's some whatever. But if you read on your gates, in your house, and the doorposts, so then your mind does is it mixes around the words, puts them back in order, and interprets them as meaning what it's saying, even if the words happen to be out of order. Even, right? It's like that's just kind of if you look at a sentence and you read it backwards, your mind naturally processes it. Like that's just the way that it works that way. Your mind works that way. Is that you process words, even if a sentence is backwards. You process it, right? Like, isn't it German the word order is different? Like, they're different languages, different word order. And what I'm saying is that as long as the basic words are in proximity, a sentence is a thought. So it's true there's a structure of a sentence and there's a grammar and there's a whatever. But in terms, if a person reads a sentence out of order, or backwards, or a paragraph out of order, he goes backwards, he's basically still maintaining the word order. And he does is that he kind of processes it as he's going along. You know, like as you're going along, you put it together. You put it together. I mean, it's not as clear or whatever. I'm not saying it's perfectly clear, but you pick it up. You pick up the meaning even if you go backwards. Your mind does that. Try again. Okay. That's one premise I'm saying. Okay, so what I'm saying is that so far as I'm saying your mind, that's part of the activity of mind in reading, is that it puts the words back in order. For instance, again, you say the doorposts, I'm sorry, the gates, your house, the doorposts, you should write it then. Right, so you put it back in order. I mean, I'll tell you what, like this, is that also, I'd say, is that it's not exactly like Kriya Shema is a text that it's like you're just reading for the first time. I mean, it could be, but I'm saying the nature of the mitzvah is to review the ideas of Kriya Shema twice a day. Right? It's a reviewing, right? I mean, it's not, I guess technically there's always going to be a first time and whatever, but the nature of the mitzvah is like it's not like this text, like you're just opening up a random book that you never heard of before and you're whatever. It's taking ideas which are supposed to be part of your life, and you're incorporating them into your life by reviewing them twice a day. So what I'm saying is when you go over it backwards, you go over all the ideas, and your mind puts them together, puts together the ideas, and you go over the ideas. Right. Like sometimes if you're looking for something in a book, sometimes you'll skim through it and you flip the pages, and sometimes you go backwards, sometimes you go forward. Like you kind of could do that. Right? It's like, okay, but now the problem is okay, very nice. Remind us. The bottom line is, what's the mitzvah? Isn't the mitzvah kriya? So it's very nice to let your mind do all it wants. But look, you could let your mind think about all the days of Kriya Shema, but if you don't actually read Kriya Shema, you're not going to be yotze, right? Let's say I just sit down and I think about Kriya Shema. Okay. Right? That doesn't work. Yeah, it's a mitzvah of Kriya. Right? So the mitzvah is, although it's very nice that your mind may do this, but what about the Kriya? You didn't read the Parsha. Bottom line is, you didn't read the Parsha. Right? Bottom line is, the Parsha was not, right? You didn't read the Parsha. So your mind does it. Who cares about your mind? Who cares about your mind? Who cares what your mind does? Is why is your mind halachically recognized what your mind does? I mean, bottom line is you're not reading it. Right? You're not reading it. Okay, so what I want to say is, I don't think this is my chiddush, but I'm maybe extending it a little bit. That in Kriya Shema, there's a kiyum belev. Okay, which means that the real kiyum, I think this is true, that the ultimate kiyum of Kriya Shema, even though the action of Kriya Shema is a reading of a text, the real kiyum is like an internal kibul al-malach shemayim, is an internal accepting of the ideas of Kriya Shema. Right? I mean, if you just read it, I mean, technically you need kavana for the first sentence, or maybe a little more than that. Okay, but that's for sure. But what I'm saying is, like in all of Kriya Shema, is Kriya Shema is a reviewing of ideas, the essential fundamentals of the Torah, and therefore it's not just a technical reading. Although you fill the mitzvah on a technical level, what I'm saying is that the lev of the person is a part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. That it's, for instance, if you read Kriya Shema and you understand it and you think about the ideas, then that's a greater kiyam. The kiyam is fulfilled at a higher degree. You're more related to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Okay, right, that's what it said. The word should be alavavecha, on your heart. So what I'm saying is there's a kiyum in Kriya Shema, right? The kiyum in Kriya Shema is alavavecha, is this internalization of the ideals of Kriya Shema. But even though that's the case, the mitzvah is not just to think about ideas. The Torah gave a form to that realization of the ideas, namely Kriya. So there's the Maisa HaMitzvah, which is Kriya, but the Kiyam is Balei in your heart, in your mind, is that you make the words of Kriya Shema a reality to yourself, to your mind, through a Maisa Kriya. So there's a technical tour of the Maisa, but there's a Kiyam which transcends the Maisa, and even if you say technically you yotze the Mitzvah, if you did just the Maisa, but still the Kiyam, the Lev, is involved in the Mitzvah. It's a component of the mitzvah. Okay? You with me? Step number two.
So again, kiyam is in terms...
instance, it's like you have a simchas yantif. So simchas yantif is a kiyam b'leiv. You're happy. Samachta v'chakecha. Right? You're happy. But the Torah didn't just say be happy on yantif. The Torah says it gave a form to it. Eat meat, drink wine. So there's a ma'isa which the Torah mandated. But the fulfillment is in the state which it brings about. And if a person is really enjoys his chag and he thinks about the ideas of the chag and is very happy and the wine really is involved in it, then that's a greater kiyam. Because the action is bringing about a certain fulfillment in the person. And the mitzvah in its fullest form is realized when the person has that effect. Okay, you with me? So now that that's the case, so now the thing is like this, is that, so the Torah mandated a Maisa of Kriya in order to bring about the Kiyum Shebelev. Okay? Now, there is order to the Parsha. Okay? The Parsha of Kriya Shema has an order. Okay? Must the order be in the very action itself? Or could the Lev supply the order? Since the lev is a component of the mitzvah, could the order of the words, the seder of the words, be supplied by the lev? Definitely, if you simply sit back and think about the mitzvah, obviously you're not doing the mitzvah. You need a maisa. But if you do the maisa and your lev supplies the feature of order, is that sufficient? Because you'll say, look, I didn't just sit back and think about it. I spoke. I said it. Now, it's out of order, but since the lave is halacha part of the maisa, and the lave basically, you know, I'm reading the right thing in the right order. In terms of the lave, I'm realizing the ideas of my lave through a kriya, and the kriya is put in order by the lave. So you could argue that's sufficient. Kamash Malan, that just like the action of kriya can't take place in your heart, but you have to actualize it through speech, so too the seder of the dvarim has to be in the maisa itself. It can't be through the lave. It has to be in the speech itself. That's what I'm saying, is that I'm claiming is that it's only because in Kriya Shema that there's a Kim Shebelev, and it's part of the mitzvah, halachically. But if you were to say you took it by a different mitzvah, some sort of technical, formal mitzvah, then I'd say it wouldn't work. Because it's purely like a mechanical action. Being a pure mechanical action, and then the lev is a nice philosophy, but it's not halacha. What I'm saying is, but since there's a Kim Shebelev, it's part of the halachic, there's a Kim in the lev. As evidenced on a partial idea, at least in the requirements for Kavana, for part of Kriya Shema. I mean, that's what I'm extending, is that the din of Kavana, even though Kavana is only necessary for, the first parsha, but there is a reality of Kavana throughout. There's a reality of the lev and of the understanding of the ideas and the internalization of the ideas throughout. That's the idea of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And it's almost like the possible. I mean, that's the pasuk of Kriya. I think we have a shachok vecha. I mean, that's what's telling you about Kriya Shema. So the dvar should be olav avecha. So the dvar olav avecha is the kiyam. So now your lev is supposed to find the order. So you create the dvarim, and then your heart orders them. You think would be good. Kamashmala, no. The order must be part of your maisa as well. When the Torah goes in along, and that's why I think you need another pasuk. Because when the Torah concretizes the mitzvah and says it's not enough to think it, but it has to be concretized through speech. Does the Seder also have to be concretized, or the Seder is enough to be belayed? So no, the Seder also. It's a further limud in the structure of the mitzvah. That's also structured. But the question you could ask me, here's a good question which you could ask me. Is let's say a person reads Kriya Shema backwards, and they don't know Hebrew, and they don't know at all what it's saying, and they don't do this in their mind, and they're not thinking, and they're just kind of blindly reading it backwards. You know? So they don't do that. That's true, but you're allowed to blindly read it forwards. You're allowed to read it blindly read it forwards, as long as you have Kavana for the first part, for the first sentence or whatever. But what I'm saying is, if you read it backwards, if I'm claiming that the kiyam, the only havamina that you'd be able to read it backwards would be because your mind supplies the order. So then, let's say your mind doesn't supply the order. I mean, doesn't that demand a certain level of mind in order to say that your mind does that? But if you just read it namisha blindly, so if I read it forward, you'll say I did a kriya of the parsha. But if I, and you know, I'll say it in the right order. But if I read it backwards, it's out of order. And I'm saying is what gives it order is your mind. But doesn't your mind have to be active in order to do that? So if you wouldn't be active, would you be able to say that it would work? Okay, so you could say, and I'm inclined to say this, is what Morris is saying, is Einachanami, according to the Havamina, you're right. It would only work if you read it backwards, if you were thinking, because it's out of order. But if your mind could supply the Havamina, it would be your mind could supply the Seder. So, but still, you need the Pasuk to teach me that under no conditions whatsoever does reading it backwards work. Right? Because if you didn't have a Pasuk, so I think sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't work. It would depend. If you supply the Seder, then you supply the Seder. If you don't supply the Seder, you don't supply the Seder. But the Pasuk is teaching you, no. Vayu means it has to be in order, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. I don't care if you're thinking. I don't care anything. It doesn't work. So you need the Havamina doesn't necessarily have to be in every single case that you would be Yotze. You just have to say that it would be possible to be Yotze, and therefore the Torah has to teach you that you're not. And under no conditions could you be Yotze because you need the order. Right? Or you could say, little differently, that would work also, according to the Havamina, even if you read it out of order mindlessly. But you would have said is that since Kriya Shema is a Kriya which has a Kiyam Shebelev, therefore the Torah didn't demand Seder. Didn't demand that you read it all of Seder because your mind will order. Your mind orders it. It demanded a Kriya, because the Kriya could be out of order. The form of the Kriya which the Torah demanded, so if you're doing a Kriya which is like a mindless thing, that kind of kriya order is important. But in a kriya which is a kriya of mind, so then the Torah doesn't demand order, because that type of a kriya, the mind supplies the order. Even though it doesn't necessarily demand every single time your mind does that, but you could just say the type of kriya that the Torah selected, since the ideal form of the mitzvah does have a kavana, so therefore it does have a kiyum shebileiv, does have you thinking about it, so therefore the form of kriya that it demanded is one where order isn't necessary, because the mind does that. But I think that's a little bit of a force. I don't really like saying that. I'd rather say the first way, like Mars is saying, the enechmami. According to Havina, you'd fill the mitzvah even if even with that kavana. I mean, you'd only fill the mitzvah out of order if your mind would do that. But it's a reasonable your mind well. In general, it's it's a good chance. Oh, it's the Torah's teach you that even that doesn't work. Okay, so what's the machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah about whether or not whether or not the words could be out of order or only the psukim could be out of order? Right, Rabbeinu Yonah learns that the words have to be in order. Psukim could be out of order according to the Havamina. Right? It's all in the Havamina. All in the Havamina. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you can't mix up the words in the word of the psukim. No one ever even thought that you could do that. It just had Havamina, you could switch the pasuk order, but not within the pasuk. Right? The paragraphs, just as an aside, I mean, the paragraphs isn't a really big deal. I mean, just to give, I mean, we go into it more, but on a basic level, they're not, and like the Rabbeinu Yonah says this, they're not together in the Torah. They're totally separate paragraphs. They don't have intrinsically nothing to do with one another. They're three separate paragraphs. Now, the order, okay, so the Gemara Mishnah says there's a reason to have an order, because first it's logical to do this, and then it's logical to do that, and then it's logical to do that. So we don't just do it arbitrary. But, I mean, internally, the thing makes perfect sense, and there's nothing wrong with doing them out of order intrinsically. You know, as opposed to, but in a paragraph, the paragraph has an order. Right? For instance, you say, and these words should be on your heart. And you should teach them to your children. And you should write them on your doorposts. If you just start off by saying you should write them, write what? Right? Like, it's a paragraph. The paragraph has a meaning built on a relative. The sentences build on each other. Right? Sentences build upon each other. So, but that's not true in Kriya Shema. They don't, intrinsically, the texts of the Parsha A and Parsha B and Parsha C and they do with one another. You see, when we read Parsha Vesachan, we read one. We read Parsha Ekev, another one. Mishlach, another one, right? There's no, you don't need them to have any meaning to the thing. But we never read like just a half of, we don't just take part of the Parsha, part of this paragraph out, part of the Parsha out. I mean, especially these, there's a continuous meaning of the thing. Even before you go as far, but I would think that Rabbeinu Yonah has to agree with this point also about the Leif. Because equally, reading a paragraph in the sentence out of order also doesn't really make sense. Because again, it says you should write them on your doorposts. Write what on your doorposts? Right? It says God will get angry at you. What? What did I do? Because I did the mitzvahs? Don't you have to say, isn't there an order? Isn't there a necessary order? Right? It says, if you started like Vayom Shema backwards, so you can say, and you should tie them on your heart, on your doorposts, and this, God will get angry at you if you don't listen to these words. I mean, you mix around the order. The sequence is kind of important. It's important to know that God's getting angry because you turn towards the Bodhisattva or whatever, right? I mean, there's an order. So to me, it seems that you'd have to say that according to Rabbeinu Yonah also, it's the order is supplied by your life, according to the Havamina. Right? I mean, I don't see a way around that, according to either one of them. You know? But what then is the machlokas? Yeah, no, so maybe it's just simple. It's not, that, for instance, even Rashi is not going to say you could read the letters backwards, right? Right, you can just take the words and switch around the letters in the word. Because he'll say the basic unit of meaning is the word. The basic unit of in Kriya Shema is the word. Now you definitely have to say, I read Kriya Shema, but my lev supplies the order. Right? So what does that mean? I read all the components of Kriya Shema, but my mind, against the Havmina, supplies the order. Okay? So the question is, what's the basic components of Kriya Shema? According to Rashi, it's words. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's sentences. Okay, and what is the basic unit of in Kriya Shema? Is it a compilation of many words in a certain order? Or is it a compilation of psukim? Because a word is the basic unit of meaning, but a sentence is what is like a concept, is like an idea. A word is just like a constituent. So the question is like, they all agree that if you, as long as you read all the basic units of Kriya Shema, then your mind would be able to supply the order. But what is the basic unit? Is the basic unit a word? That's Rashi. So then I can read the words out of order, and my mind will supply the order. But Rav Enyon holds a word alone is not a component of Kriya Shema. Because Kriya Shema is comprised of psukim. Psukim are sentences. They have either they're thoughts. They're fully formed thoughts. Now it's true that the thoughts have an order to them, but I'd say my mind can supply the order. But without having sentences, I just have individual words. You know, that's not the components of Kriya Shema. You can't say I have the components of Kriya Shema. I mean, I'm not trying to go further than that, but that's the question. What's the basic component of Kriya Shema with which your mind would be able to supply the order? Is it an accumulation of many words? Definitely not an accumulation of a bunch of letters, that's for sure. Because a letter has no meaning. But a word does have a meaning, but its meaning as like a component. A sentence is like at least a full thought. But a sentence could exist in a larger framework of a paragraph, but at least a sentence has a kind of as a thought. But a word is like a basic unit of meaning, but it's not really like a thought. It has to be put together. So of course, now logically, what's the basic unit in creation? Words or letters? Words or sentences? Great. I mean, it seems like Rabbi Yonah is also learning backwards. You can't just jumble them all around, because I think, again, it would be confusing. I think the idea of backwards is specific, because then your mind could order them. You start going, if you jumble it all around in some crazy order, your mind is going to get lost. You're not going to be able to have any idea what's going on. So Iranian also says, you start from the end and you work your way towards the beginning. That's the way he says it. So it seems like that's, but it's Zay Dafka. That's what it's talking about. So there's until. So it seems like he's saying Lamafreya is backwards, specifically.
So each sentence must be read backwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I'm going to get started on tomorrow is, this question comes up by Megillah. You read it out of order. But no one there says that it's talking about if you switch around the words. Like, but Rashi, I don't see anyone say that over there. Rashi doesn't say that over there. But basically, it's a Mishnah Yitzayim and Aleph, the first line of the Mishnah, and then the Gemara. Okay, it's not that long. It's like 5-6 lines of Gemara. But, I mean, there are a lot of points. I mean, you should look at the Pesukim in the Megillah, which it's quoting, because they're kind of relevant. Okay? Oh, I didn't talk about the Parshiyos, but let's leave that alone. All right, let's try to get to Megillah tomorrow.